I get to introduce our speaker for the month. We have Deidre Johnson joining us. She is a graduate of Masters University. She and her husband, Jesse, are members of Emmanuel Bible Church, which she wrote that. He is also the lead teaching pastor. And they live in Alexandria. She homeschools her three daughters. Madison is 12, Savannah is 10, and Geneva 7. In her life before children, she taught second grade in Los Angeles. So thanks for joining us today.
So weird to write up one of those things for yourself in my spare time. Tonight it's so good to be here with all of you, and I'm excited to talk to you about beauty for God's glory. And that's really where I want to go, more of a focus on the Lord than just even on the way that we look. The next slide talks as a picture of my family. There it is. And here we are. This December we took a trip to Arizona. So Jesse, my husband's there, and then Madison's 12, Savannah is 10, and Geneva is 7, and we were picking oranges. And that's, I guess, something you do in Arizona in December, which was really nice. But as we left for this trip, I, of course, had to pack the suitcases for the family. And oftentimes when I pack, you know, you're thinking through the different things you're going to do. There's going to be hiking. There's going to be hiking in snow. There's going to be hiking in hot weather. There's going to be church. So, you know, you're like packing all these clothes, throwing a couple extra outfits. I need several books to read over Christmas vacation. And turns out I have a lot of things in my suitcase. And sometimes I can tend to overpack. But I always feel like I'll never be caught in a situation where I'm missing something. But that's also what I kind of feel like I did tonight. I kind of feel like I might have overpacked our talk for tonight, but I'm hoping that you'll be able to get something out of what I say and just take one thing home with you. I figure you guys all are mothers of little ones and you can move quickly, and we're gonna be doing that tonight through scripture. So if you do have your Bibles, you might want them. If you don't, you can look up on your phone. But I have a lot of them up on the slides, so if you don't have a Bible, that's perfectly fine. You can look up on the slides and follow along as we go. So the next slide is just, we're gonna just be talking about God's beauty here at First. And as you all know, we're part of a culture where we are very self-consumed. We are a culture where beauty is what makes you feel good. You get to be the lover of yourself. Beauty starts with you and ends with you. But we know that God's true beauty starts with God and ends with Him. And so I was doing a little research about the global beauty industry. And do you know that they're a $500 billion industry worldwide? But U.S. is only second in raking the contributions towards that. We spend 25% of that in the world. We are just obsessed with it. And I'm from California, so I'm used to driving down the road and seeing liposuction billboards and all the surgeries that you can possibly do right out there for you on the side of the freeway. And we have all sorts of advertisements in magazines and commercials bombarding us. We see it everywhere we go. But we're certainly not the first culture to start this. I don't know, this is funny to me, but the Aztecs, they actually took dead beetles and they would crush them, and they would get this red dye from the beetles and use it on their lips. And it would keep their lips this bright rouge for quite a long time. So thankful for your lip gloss right now, I'm sure. And then in the Elizabethan era, they would use coal tar for their eye makeup. And this coal tar smelled awful, but not only that, it was actually flammable. And it caused blindness in a lot of women. So the extents that people go through to get some beauty is quite remarkable. And I think beauty can lead to much sin, right? So just thinking about it, we have some ends of the spectrum. Some ends on the spectrum would be comparison, envy, competitiveness, promiscuity, greed, eating disorders, immodesty, materialism, flirtatious behavior. These are all things that are rooted in a false identity of yourself and really what beauty is. And we're obsessed with this. And why are we obsessed? I think as we look at our culture, we're obsessed because we're believing a lie from Satan that it's actually going to bring happiness and it's going to bring you success. It's going to bring you joy in life. And it's really not true. We know that it's fleeting and it's not going to bring us happiness. But of course, there's another end to the spectrum. And Satan actually has a strategy to get us to move to the other side as well. And that is a growing aversion towards neatness, towards orderliness, towards being attractive in your dressing, towards caring about what you do, and towards your physical appearance. And I think that that can lead towards laziness, and it can lead towards representing our Savior poorly if we just don't care and we don't put any effort forward. And in the next slide, we'll see Proverbs 31:30 that says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she is worthy to be praised." So charm here is just another word for outward beauty. And again, this verse just tells us that it's vain. It's not something that's going to actually bring you lasting happiness. It can't deliver. And the next verse says, Isaiah 40 is talking about all flesh is grass, and its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. So ladies, this is where we want to go. We don't want to go to the fads of the world, the things that are fleeting, the things that are going to pass quickly, that are going to fade out, but we want to go to the word of God to find out what he has to say about beauty. So our next slide, it's just going to kind of go over, we're going to go over our outline tonight, which is God's beauty. We're going to first talk about him, and then we're going to move on to us and God's and our beauty, and then we're going to move on to our kids and how we're going to talk to our kids about beauty. So that's my plan for tonight. So God is the author and creator of beauty, and he is the sustainer and the bestower of beauty. So let's take a minute and just look at a few of his beautiful traits, because I think as you look at him and you become more enthralled with who he is, you will have a way better perspective on who you should be and who you are before the Lord. So the first point here is God is eternal. God's beauty is eternal, and our beauty will fade, and the earth's beauty fades, but he stands above all trends. Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." And there is such security in that, ladies. We cannot put security in ourselves. We change at a blink of an eye, and I'm so grateful that our Heavenly Father does not. Number two is God is majestic. His majesty is seen through all of creation. It says, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, and doing wonders?" He is just so stunning. And I think if we look at him and his creation, really, I believe his creation, as you look at it, really revolutionizes and changes your own thinking. And as you look at him and see him as majestic, it'll change who you are. Third is God's powerful. He has great power, and he rules the galaxies. And he even rules your heart. And it says here, "The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of Yahweh, and he turns it wherever he wills." So he's powerful. He can change the world. He can change the way you look. He can change the way you feel. He can change everything. He is so powerful. And then fourthly, God is wise. His wisdom means that he actually knows everything, and he knows what's best and beautiful for every situation. So whether you are in a time of loneliness, or you are in a time of your body doesn't feel quite right or unhealthy, you know that he has you there. And with his wisdom, his might, and he has counsel and understanding. And you can go to the Lord with all of those concerns. He is wise and he cares for you. So the fifth one is God is holy. God's holiness is what the angels actually sing as they look upon him. And they sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And I think that when we see him, we're going to say the same thing. We're going to be calling out about his holiness, because that's what we're going to see when we see him. And our last one is God is good. God's goodness showers us with gifts. And in Psalm 119:68, it says, "You are good and you do good." And he always does do good things for us. So I hope with this little quick list here of God's beauty and his attributes that you can just take a look at him and have a little bit of a foundation for where beauty comes from. And I know that all of you know God well, and you could add right now, if I were to have time and ask you, we could add probably 20 more to this list right here. So I encourage you to do that. Make up a beauty list about God and how you can worship him and pray to him and honor him with his character. So now, since we've seen his beauty, hopefully we're not gonna look at beauty the same way when it comes to ourselves. So our definition for beauty tonight is going to be that beauty is to behold and reflect the beauty of God. That's what true beauty is all about. So if you can behold him, if you can see him, if you can look at him, you know him, that's how you will begin to reflect him through your own character and through your own body. And that's the only way that we can really have true and lasting beauty. So we've looked at God, now we're gonna look to us. So I don't know about you, but when I look in the mirror, I just see my flaws. I see from head to toe, I see flaws. I see the gray hair that's coming in, I see the wrinkles, I see the places that's mushy. I just, you know, I see all the things that I don't care about myself. But of course, that's because I'm starting with myself. And honestly, we're to start back where we just started tonight, and that is we're to start with God and end with him. And that's where our real problem comes, is we have a self-focus, and in our self-focus, we just get off track. And that makes it difficult for us to have the right idea of beauty. So we are image bearers, ladies. We're image bearers of God. He created us. And because of that, we have also been bought with a price, with Jesus Christ's blood. And we are co-heirs of heaven. And we have such worth because we're found in him. And I know that some ladies really have a difficult time with self-worth and knowing that they're worth something. But you all are. You are precious in God's sight. He loves you, and he sent his son to die for you, and he made you in his image, and you are beautiful in his sight, and of course, that's what matters most. So, I don't know about you, but when I first got my first home and I moved in, I wanted to make it beautiful. I wanted to make it our home and make it pretty, and I know when you go shopping, you're not looking for the ugliest clothes, you're looking for the prettiest clothes, and when you go to eat, you want to look for food that looks appetizing and delicious. And when you go on vacation, you want to go to a breathtaking place. We all desire beauty, and it's actually a good thing. Scripture tells us that actually God delights in it. He delights in it, he created it, and when he created things in Genesis, he called it good, which is another way to say it was beautiful. But if you think back to paradise, quickly beauty got twisted, didn't it? What twisted our beautiful paradise? Sin. Unfortunately, yes, sin crept in. And that broke our relationship with God, and it broke our relationship with one another. And so Adam and Eve quickly had to find some clothing. We know what they did for that, which still I don't really understand how that worked. But they did it. And so sin just distorts really quickly. So in my own thinking, I need to ask myself, where maybe has sin distorted my thinking about myself, about beauty, about the world, and where has it been influenced by the Lord? Recently, I don't know if some of you got to go to the women's conference, and we talked about Romans 12:2, which says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And I think this is really exciting because I was talking to a friend this week about this, and you know, really, truly, I think it's life-giving when we transform our minds, right? So all of our thinking can be transformed. Whatever subject it is that we have that we're struggling with really can change. It can be transformed. And it's so encouraging to think that as we look to God, like we did at the beginning, we can change the way that we think about ourselves. So develop a deepening desire for the beauty of God as you study him. And these beautiful attributes, we're actually going to become more like you. So the truly beautiful woman is someone who thinks about God and is able to reflect him. So this next verse says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple." Psalm 27:4 talks about this, and I really love David's heart here and how his one thing. You know, I don't know about you, but I have so many things during my days that I want to do and accomplish, but really the basic first thing, the one thing, is I need to look to the Lord and really gaze upon him to start my day. And in order to honor him, how can I glorify him in my attitude with my kids? How can I glorify him in any way if I haven't first looked at him and looked at his beauty? So, ladies, I love this quote I got from a good friend. It says, "Spend more time in the Word and in prayer than you do looking in the mirror. That's where your true identity is found. And it's true, ladies. Look at the Word of God in the morning before you look in the mirror. Spend time with the Lord instead of spending more time in the mirror. Let me tell you, there's a lot more redemption there. So the gospel frees us up to think less frequently about ourselves. And honestly, I think this is a freedom. We have been enslaved by our preoccupation with ourselves. And it's a sad bondage. So I want to encourage you, instead of being bonded to that, bond yourself to Christ. So the first thing, now we're going to talk about, we all are in need of a transforming beauty regimen. I don't know about you, but I've been to some beauty parties where they have like the 7 steps. Who's got time for 7 steps? I don't have time for that. So anyways, we're just going to have 2. So tonight, or today, we're going to talk about 1 Peter 3:3-4. It says, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of the hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, for with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in God's sight, or very precious in God's sight. So adorning, ladies, that word adorn, like we just talked about tonight from the book, actually the Greek word for adorn is cosmos. And cosmos, of course, what English word do we get? Cosmetics from that. And that actually literally means to put in order, to beautify. Or what I really like is the harmonious arrangement. So in the Greek culture, there was a lot of harmonious arrangement going on with their hair. These ladies had very long hair. They did lots of little braids, and then they would topple it all on top and put all these gold things in there and pearls and flowers, and it was quite ornate. Of course, they were trying to get the attention of other people. And Peter is saying here, hey guys, let's be internally focused and not externally focused. And let's look for the imperishable things that are not fading away instead of the perishable. So our first step to the beauty regimen here is that we would trust in God with a gentle and quiet spirit. The Lord says a lot more in the Bible about our hearts than it does our outward beauty. So I want to encourage us to always focus on the inward beauty of the heart more than the outward. So gentleness is just humility. It's being considerate. It's not being impressed with yourself. And it's having the right view of ourselves before God. So that's what gentleness is. And some of you may think, a quiet spirit, oh, that's just not me. But a quiet spirit isn't really that you don't talk or you don't have an opinion, but it's what you are on the inside. It's a sense of being calm. It's being well-ordered, it's being peaceful and tranquil. When you get bumped in life and you have a trial, what comes out of you? That's what a quiet spirit is. What Jesus did in the face of persecution, he did not revile. So godly women aren't interested in drawing people's eyes to themselves, to their hair, to their beauty, but they are looking towards God and bringing him glory. Man always looks at the inside, but God looks at the heart, and he always prioritizes that. And I think nothing will ruffle this gentle and quiet spirit more than comparison, right? When we take our eyes off of the Lord and we start comparing ourselves with the women in the room and our friends, it's very easy to think, I'm not very happy about this right now, and complain and fret and become discontent. So we need to trust God with our figures and our faces and our finances and our families and our fears, all of them. We adorn ourselves with true beauty when we can trust God with all of those things. So again, where do we go for this? We look back to God's character to steady our hearts instead of looking to ourselves. So our second verse here in this section about our beauty regimen is, women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women who profess godliness, with good works. Now, our first one here, we'll do the second step. So the second step to our true beauty regimen is apply trust in God with good works. So the first verse we looked at was, you can go to the next one. Yeah, thanks. The first one was trust God with a gentle and quiet spirit, and the second one is apply trust with good works. And we saw in Peter where he was telling us the negative, like take this off, and this one is put on. What are we supposed to put on? And there were 3 things he said here to put on. One was respectable apparel. So what do you think, what does that mean, respectable? Is that like we're all in suits or what? It's really well arranged, not slovenly or careless, not lazy. So we are taking care of ourselves. We're putting ourselves together in a way that's ordered. Modesty is the second one. And that's like not being loud. And I don't mean don't wear hot pink. That's not what I mean. But don't come into the room with a self-focus that everyone should be looking at you, and even immodest in behavior. We see the way that the Lord has clothed the flowers. He's made them beautiful. There's a whole lot of hot pink. There's a whole lot of red. There's a whole lot of gorgeous colors out there. Doesn't mean that you can't be bright. It just means that your heart is not out there to gain that attention. And then, of course, self-control. That's another thing we're supposed to put on. And this is discreetness. So we're not trying to outshine one another. We're not trying to come in the room and get everyone's attention on ourselves. And if we are, we're really unfit for worship. And I think that's something to remember on Sundays. I know as I'm getting ready in the morning, I'm always trying to remember that it's the Lord that I'm pleasing, and it's not people, right? Even on a day when we're getting dressed for church or dressed for work or whatever it might be, we're not doing it for the attention of others. But instead here, the verse in 1 Timothy 2 says to put on good works. And so good works, I think we all know what they are, but they're just deliberate acts. You have to think about it. They don't naturally happen. We don't naturally do something nice for a sister in the body. We have to think about it and plan it out a little bit. And that's what we should be thinking on even more than what we're going to be wearing or what we're eating or any of those things. We're thinking about our friends and serving them. We were created for good works, the Lord tells us. So I think a good question I have to often ask myself is, where's my priority? What am I consumed with? Am I spending time on me, more me, more me, more me? Or have I been spending more time about thinking about loving and serving others? So that was our look at ourselves. So we've looked at the Lord, and we've looked at ourselves a little bit, and now we're going to look to our kids. And I don't know about you, but I think it's hard to raise our kids in the culture we're in today. They're getting a lot of mixed messages out there quickly. And as they get a phone, then they start seeing everything, and they think they need this and they need that, and they're comparing what other kids have. I have the three little girls that you saw, and already I'm getting comments from them that are surprising, like, "Mom, I think I'm fat." It's like, no, 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 no. They're hearing things. The kids have said things to them that are hurtful, those exact words. And so we have to protect our children. We have to talk to them about this rightfully, because they're going to get the wrong messages from the world all over the place. And so I'd like to take you to beauty school today for your kids. The first thing you're going to do is going to model beauty for your children. And I think you can be the real model in their life, not the models that walk down the runway. But I think that you can teach your children your priorities through your own actions, right? Kids watch us from the time we get up in the morning till the time we go to bed at night. They're gonna see what are your priorities and how you use your time. Are you using your time for you at every moment you get? Are you getting your me time? Are you trying to figure out what you need for yourself? Or are you thinking and really striving to serve others well and putting your focus on Christ? I think that children will absorb our self-absorption, and they're going to also vainly follow our vanity. There's a lot of things that we do in life that's going to be burned up at when we die. You know, there are things that are worthless. But our children are going to see what we're doing and how we're spending our lives, and they're going to be able to follow us even more than what we tell them they should be doing. They're going to see what we do. So let's just take an example of, like, exercise. So I've been on both sides of the spectrum. I have exercised so much and been so enthralled with it that it's become a god to me. It's such a focus, right? And I've been totally out of whack in my thinking about exercise. And then I've swung to the other side of the pendulum where I'm like, I don't know, last time I exercised, I'm not gonna do that. So we need to have more of a focus before the Lord and aligning ourselves before the Lord. What does He want me to do with this? I'm going to strengthen my body so that I can be fit for my children, and I have energy for my children. And I think that we want to just ask the Lord and go before him and say, God, what do you want me to do so I can treat this vessel, this body, in a way that would honor you? So that's the first point here about having modeling true beauty for our children. It comes from the way that we live. And the second one is talking about true beauty with our children. The Lord has mapped out in Scripture, as we've already looked at, so many verses on beauty, and there's many more I haven't even addressed. There's so many passages on what to put on, how to clothe yourself, how to adorn yourself. You could do a whole word study on that. And I think we should also talk to our children about beauty as well. God uses those words, and so should we. I love that God gives us different seasons here in Virginia that we get to see. And you have little kids, little toddlers. When you go for a walk, show them the beauty of God's creation. Show them the changes in the weather. Show them the flowers. Make those little things important to them and point out God at their little level, at their little knee level there. Look at animals, see what they love animals. They love the life of that. Talk to them about your friends. And when you see characteristics in your friend, like they were generous or they did something kind or they babysat them or whatever, you can talk to your kids and point out God's love in that person. So I think we can just point out what real beauty looks like to our kids every day. And you know, this goes as much for boys as it does for little girls, because you want to raise your boys, of course, to value the right kind of woman, what does a real beautiful woman look like? A woman that fears the Lord. And for you that have little girls, you also wanting to train them to not listen to what the world is telling them, but what God is telling them. And I read something recently when I was getting ready for this, and it was talking about how, like with the universe, God created the beautiful universe, and the sun is at the center, and all the planets will just orbit perfectly, right? Because the sun's at the center. If you were to put something else in the center, everything else would get out of orbit. It's kind of like that with our thinking about beauty, in that when God is at the center, all the ideas of food and our clothing and my exercise and my cosmetics and my self-worth and all those other messages that you might be bombarded with are going to be hitting each other if you're at the center. But when Christ is at the center, they're just going to orbit. They're going to orbit in a very homogeneous, well-ordered way. And that's what we want. So I just want to encourage you to keep talking about beauty with your kids. I saw a suggestion somewhere about going on beauty hunts with your kids and looking for beauty in nature, but also even in literature. There's plenty of beauty found in literature, whether it's characters or it's descriptive writing. We can see beauty throughout the world, not just in scripture, but throughout the world. All right, and then our third one, modeling true beauty, talking about true beauty, is esteeming true beauty. So, you know, I think a good question is, what's influencing us? Asking the question, what is influencing me? What am I letting in my home? What TV shows am I watching? What TV shows are my kids watching? Who are their heroes? What are they filling their time with? What are they reading? These things are going to influence them. There's no doubt. So ask yourself, what are you esteeming and what are your kids esteeming as far as the culture goes? And help them to cultivate friends, help them to cultivate hobbies and activities that are going to help with this goal in mind. I have a friend who just moved away who was really good with baking cakes, and she makes the most beautiful cakes, and they're good, which is kind of a hard combo because sometimes the beautiful cakes don't taste good. And so she made them good, and they also were beautiful. She put all these flowers. I don't understand the whole fondant thing, but she made it all arranged beautifully. And she taught my daughter how to do it. And so Maddie is loving baking cakes, and I like this because this is one of those hobbies that is a fruitful hobby, because we're not eating all the cakes, thankfully. But we can make them, and then we can give them away to people when it's a birthday. And Maddie just gets tickled out of making cakes for people. And it's a really good activity of something to do that she enjoys, that creates and makes something beautiful, and then uses it as a good work to give it away in a way that hopefully would honor the Lord and be kind to somebody else. So I want to encourage us to do that, you know, instead of doing things that are just going to promote self-focus for our kids. You know, a lot of times I think sports are great, but some sports, I think, without naming them, can sometimes get us very focused on ourselves. And we have to be careful and fight that, I think. So ladies, until we get to heaven, we're going to need to keep arranging our focus, because our focus is just going to slightly veer back to ourselves all the time. And so we're going to have to keep asking him to set our eyes on him, right? To fix our eyes on him. And so I want to encourage you to do that, that until the day when we get to heaven and we get to really look at him and see him in all of his beauty and cry out, holy, 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 until that day, we really have to be disciplined. And we have to encourage ourselves to put off, take off those things that are deterring us, and then to put on those things that would help us to run this race towards him. So again, the definition of true beauty is to behold and reflect the beauty of God. So I want to encourage all of you ladies to do this as you see the day approaching of the Lord. And I want to encourage you that he finds you precious and he loves you. And in his sight, you are beautiful. And so Psalm 90 verse 17 says, "And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us." And so could I pray for all of you tonight that that would be true? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are so beautiful. And we thank you that you've revealed some of your beauty to us. We know that it is not the entirety of it, but there's more that will be revealed when we can see you face to face. And we look forward to that day, Lord, when we can see you and we can see your beauty. We do praise you for your wonderful acts of creation and how you've put us in a place with seasons and mountains and oceans. We thank you, Lord, for the beauty of the women in this room who really model Christ-likeness, who model the one another's, who are selfless and kind and who value you and love you. Lord, I thank you that you reveal yourself to us and that you even allow yourself to be reflected through us. And Lord, we do ask that you would help us to make wise choices, that we would not be consumed with ourselves, Lord. Would you please help us to put our focus on you so that we can serve you better, that we can serve our husbands, that we can serve our children, we can serve others, both in the body and out of the body, to represent you well, Lord. I pray that you would clothe us in humility as we do this, that we would be pointing to you and not pointing back to ourselves, Lord. We love you and we thank you for your word and how it gives us light to all matters. And I thank you for these ladies. I pray that you'd be with them as they train their children and that they would be encouraged as they do so. In your name, amen.